welcome to Zbrovcast, the English language Zbrovka Bono podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I would like to say ha 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 to Heart of Midlothian Football Club.
Would you?
Yes, 5-point gap now. Eh?
Eh?
Anyway, David, how are you?
Hey, I'm ready to go on an overnight train to Liechtenstein.
Now,
which is jolly exciting.
An overnight train to Liechtenstein, like, has that been nominated for the Booker Prize?
yeah, it's that after talking about tractors in Ukrainian or whatever that one that like gave rise to that particular brand of calling books that sort of name.
It's a really great book. I really like that book.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember Marina or some whatever.
Somebody. Yeah.
Really good. I really enjoyed it.
I won't be reading that. I've just picked up Walden by Henry David Thoreau.
Walden?
Which I've been meaning to read for years, and this looks like a good enough
saffron coloured book, of course.
Of course.
I'll keep making Walden.
Right. Anyway, we've got 9 sections to get through, so I reckon we should probably crack the fuck on with it, shall we?
Sure.
Hooray! Right, before we get into the meat and two veg of this podcast, which is what you're waiting for, I'm sure, let's quickly have a look at Zbrovka losing at home to Hradec Králové, which is what put the sequence of events in order.
It was shite. Next.
It was shite. I've just written, it was any Brno game.
This is, like, I mean, if you've been watching Zbrojovka Brno for the past, 2 months, we have a great pattern now where we play okay in the first half, score, and then collapse in the second half. This has happened in about 4 games now.
Yeah, I also made the observation during the game that after Tijani came in against Banik and looked great, we have quite quickly dragged him down to our level.
Oh, yeah. Tijani comes in and looks average now.
Yeah, absolute Champions League centre-back dragged down to Zbrojovka's defensive level. Basically, we went 1-0 up. We looked sort of vaguely okay and then did Zbrojovka things. We scored through a falter corner that was nodded on by Tijani for Ali to poke home, who looked bright for the first half an hour. But just before the break, an absolutely nothing cross meets David Vasilin sort of falling backwards.
Yeah.
And he sort of, he sort of shins it over his head and it creeps across the line and that's it. And then on 52 minutes, Rinesz puts Hradec 2-1 up with an absolute
gift.
Well, it's a 35-yard wallop, so, it's a decent goal.
Yes, it's a very good goal. And when was that again? What minute did you say?
52nd.
Okay, that's actually later on in the half that I remember it. So.
But then, surprise, surprise, we are already out of ideas.
Yeah.
Absolutely no change, no nothing, no inspiration, no nothing.
Second half Zbrojovka.
Yeah. And that leads us on to, I think that's quite enough for that game, that leads us on to manager chat. Manager chat! Yes, we have a new manager.
Yes.
Formerly of Bohemka and Sparta and
Ustinad Labem.
Yes.
Did he not take Ustinad Labem down?
Yeah, but his previous top flight appointments were, I would say, the best adjective to describe them was uninspiring.
Yeah.
He made Bohemka into the Bohemka we have seen for the last 4 years, i.e. uninspiring, will finish 13th, but will be an absolute nightmare to try and break down. So I think that's kind of one of the reasons he was brought in for, you know, what is an absolute firefight.
Yes. Can I just note as well that you called him Michal Hašek at the start there? It's Martin Hašek.
Why did I call him Michal?
Because I did exactly the same thing on Saturday. Oh, and you were like, it's Martin Hašek. And I was like,
well, that's one each then.
So this is one that's going to happen for a name like Hašek. There's so many. Rogožan. Let's call the whole thing off. I was...
At least he's not Dominic, the famous hockey goalkeeper.
Yes.
That's the only other Hašek I know.
I called him something else as well. I mean, it's just... Anyway, Hašek the manager.
Yes.
As he will now be known.
Your boy Hašek.
I was impressed by us actually doing something. Like, the... If you remember, the every season, Czech Footy does a prediction for a team for the season. You know, and it's always something like, we'll score, you know, 17 or less away goals and stuff like that.
17 or fewer.
Every fucking time. the Zborovka one was... And this was like the feist of the absolute certainty was that however bad Zborovka Brno become, they're never going to get rid of Richarda Stalek.
It's lovely to see one of those predictions not come true, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is the thing. And it's actually, I feel, has been handled quite swiftly. The first thing is that Czech football usually, and this is a good example, doesn't do what we do in like the UK where we say has left by mutual consent, we're now looking for a manager. There's somebody just in the back ready to go half the time. And it seemed to happen quite... So I don't know if it was being... I imagine it has been talked about for a while, but the thing, the difference is that it was really the Hradec-Kralove game where actually people started to get angry at it. Because before that, Dostalek was a bit of a joke. You know, the running joke of the team always react well to training, or we're really up for this game, not a result because there's no tactics and let's go again. And it was getting sort of irksome. And it was irksome when we were ninth. And when you then drop down and, you know, we were a few points from the bottom, basically, by the end of the Hradec game. I think it was 4 or 5 points, but we were only about 2 above Trinet. It looked very much, and it does still look potentially, that Zborovka can get relegated here. And it was sort of, not even sleepwalking, but sort of hurtling headfirst into it by a lack of tactics, a lack of any sort of squad depth with two players that run the whole show.
Yeah.
So I think this is a very positive development.
Yeah. And that was seen, I mean, not immediately, because he kept his cards very close to his chest. There wasn't a lot of... talk about him on the sort of official club channels in the week before the game.
No.
However, his post-match interview, we will get onto the game in a bit, but I have a fairly long quote from his post-match interview, and this kind of sets out where we're going here. This is on Mikhail Shevchik. Quote, "Some players knew they were going to play. We needed the back four working together in the week, for example. Others didn't know. We left them in suspense. I took Michal aside after the lineup was published and we discussed it." Shevchik didn't start, by the way. "Of course, you don't just let such a player sit on the bench. You saw how he played in the spring, but at the same time, I felt that there was a huge weight on him. When he was playing great, Zborovka made up a lot of points, but in the spring, he hasn't played so well and Zborovka has no points.
Yep.
Is Shevchik to blame? I don't think so." And that's what I told him. "But as a young lad, he's entitled to a dip in form. Maybe more pressure was put on him than it should have been. By not relying on him, you have to take that burden off him. He got on the pitch after his teammates had tired his opponents out a bit, and he was incredibly effective." It's basically, it seems it's been a week of defensive solidity and individual man management. And kind of, you know, doing the whole, you know, it's a cliche, but arm around the shoulder of some players and going, you know what, you don't have to do it all by yourself. It's fine. And it has seemed up until this point that Dostalek was living and dying by the fact that Shevchik, Ale and Riznicek were doing everything because he had no idea how to change it, and it was just falling back on these three players. And if they're not on it, as we've discussed, then you're screwed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That quote is interesting because of, as well, the timing of this appointment as well, where, and I think this was said, I can't remember who said this, it was you or Pavel, that the besides Dostalek, the entire backroom staff has not changed. The trainers, the coaches are all there. And arguably, you have to look at, you know, who's coaching the defence, who's coaching the, you know, the midfield and so on, in order, you know, because it's not just like Dostalek is useless or was useless, but he wasn't entirely to blame because he was in a culture that allowed him to be ineffective for so long. and everything just kept ticking over. The training's good. Oh, the lads are reacting well. You go out, collapse second half, we go again. And it's, you know, that's not how you stay in a league. That's how you drop out of the league and have to play bloody Vishkov. So,
I think culture is right. It was fostering a culture of complacency, but you shouldn't even be complacent when you're losing this badly. However, complacency is what it was.
Easy to get complacent when you have an owner that doesn't care where you finish, but just stays in the league.
True, yeah. And as we were hurtling towards the second league, it was time for a change. And that meant we got to play part of it, sir, which is what we're going to talk about after this. Right, part of it. So let's start with another post-match quote. And it is obviously easy to be wise after the event. However, this was clearly a plan. Quote, the idea was to play the first half without conceding a goal and then decide what to do next. We left two fast players on the bench, namely Ševčík and Hladík, who we hoped could change the course of the match when they arrived, and they did. Ševa only learned, as we previously mentioned, on the day of the match that he wouldn't play, but his reaction was exemplary. We saw tactics at half time.
Yeah, which is good because I thought we were murdering the first half.
Yep, we saw we saw two substitutions and a complete tactical shift. We began with 4-2-3-1, Berkovic, Kozeluš, Štěrba, Tijani, Gvenečný, Hlavica and Falter. Hlavica as a kind of defensive midfielder, Falter alongside him. Nečas, false second, Ali and Reznicek up top. First half is a lot of part of it, says Rovka, focusing on just not conceding. A lot of chucking themselves in front of the ball. Nečas, given license to roam, actually licensed to play some football, which is quite nice to see. But it was 0-0 at halftime. As you said, we weren't great. Part of it, so had the best of it.
I'm pretty sure I just tweeted my summary of it was just it was a dull first half of football.
It was, yeah. Part of it, so had the best of it, but it was pretty nip and tuck. As you said, two subs at halftime, the probably non-match fit Nečas and Folsek. Nečas not having played and Folsek coming back from a fairly long injury layoff and also not having played, going off at halftime, and switched to 4-4-2. Basically, the back four stayed the same. Hlavica as a number six, Falter joining him in the centre, Ševčík and Ali as the two wide players, and Hladík going up top to do some of the running to help out Hesnicek, who had looked isolated in the first half. And it brought instant results. Yeah. 47 minutes, Ševčík chases a lost cause to the corner flag, wins it off the back-tracking Marek Icha, squares it to Hladík, who plays it into Reznicek at the near post, who thumps it past Florin Nita and into the roof of the net. It was a really satisfying goal.
Love a goal where you smack it near post.
Yeah. And also, two subs immediately coming on. Ševčík winning the ball, Hladík finding himself in space, finding Reznicek. And as we said at the time, it's a very satisfying near post thump into the top of the net finish.
It's a misplayed ball by Jan Hlavica, who actually I think had a reasonably decent game besides that. And
we're going to come on to him later.
Ševčík was the only player to just take any interest in trying to go for it.
However, this was basically what Hašek was saying, that, you know, we've done the first half and we can now introduce these players who are going to make a difference or mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
On 67 minutes, Bartosz Pikul brings an acrobatic save from Bedke. It's a lovely, lovely save, actually. Shot curled in from the edge of the box.
He does really good work to get into that position to get the strike off as well.
He does, yeah. To get the shot away.
He's the one that, is he the one that I said looks a bit like Jack Grealish?
Yes.
Yeah.
Number
10. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Good hit.
Yeah. On 75 minutes, a Falter cross from the left is met by Reznicek, who achieves the combination of a header that's both a glance and manages to add power.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting header, and he fires it across goal and into the far corner. Nita's kind of strolling. A
proper stretch, Nita, there. Yeah. And it sort of trickles into the corner. Yeah. That's great.
It's a really good header, yeah. The 84th minute brings another great stop from Berkey as he tips a header over the bar from a part of it's a corner. And then the meltdown.
Yeah, I thought after that, I thought that was it. Because we were heading to, what, I want to say the 90th minute. And yeah,
there was 5 minutes of...
That was it.
Proper time, and then 4 minutes of time added on. The 92nd minute, sees Ladislav Krobot nod home from a corner to make it 2-1.
And then Philip Blecher comes on.
Yeah. We immediately bring on Philip Blecher, who in his first act gives the ball immediately to the part of it as a centre forward from kickoff.
Gives it immediately from kickoff and then falls over.
Yeah. Part of it's a break cross, and from the head tennis, the referee gives a penalty. Was it a penalty? Well, no.
Penalty in the, was it 94th minute?
94th minute.
And I just remember, I see Whistling for a Bet, and I just remember just laughing.
Yeah.
Because it's like the most Broyovka thing of all time to happen.
You know that laughter where it's just hysterical disbelief at what's going on? And we were all over it, weren't we? Everyone around us just like, the fuck? Like, yeah.
I watched it. I didn't actually, I usually say on these things, oh, I've watched that back a few times. I watched it back once, not penalty.
No. VAR eventually sorts it out on the 97th minute, but good Christ.
It's a great laugh for Ovka Brno, isn't it?
Lordy aye. Dear me.
Did the lads not let off flares when it was overturned?
No, that was before.
Okay.
It was on like 80th minute, I think. But yeah, we should have been cruising at that point.
Oh yeah. We should have been indeed.
Yeah. On Jan Hlavica, if you'd like, my third hashtag quote. Quote, the whole week we focused only on defending. There wasn't time to work on the attack. And it's nice when someone who is focused on defending plays in that, brackets, defensive midfield position. Solček was injured, Texel was suspended, and moreover, Texel is not even a typical number six. There weren't many options, so we had to pick a defender. The fact that Shural got injured also narrowed our options for substitutions, but we had to go for it, and I think he did well. In fact, he did do well. We won, and I don't really recall him making a mistake.
I recall him making a mistake, but it was one, you know?
Yeah.
He might be all right. I mean, he's actually been pretty decent this season.
Particularly, actually, in that position. When we played against Sparta, he played that position, and he was okay.
He was particularly, actually, he was good as part of just a back four against Slavia.
Yeah.
Even as well. So there's hope there.
There is.
I mean, what this is sounding like is it's sounding like a complete defence rebuild over the summer, which is A-OK with me.
Yeah.
Because that has by far been the most frustrating thing that I think you can place on Dostalic's tenure. Mm. And maybe, do you think, and I don't want to go back because we've already covered that, do you think that that's because Dostalic's never really been a defender? That's not really been his interest?
He just gives off Major Frank Lampard vibes, doesn't he? You know.
No, don't say that because that means he'll come back.
Well, this is already what his third. You know, after being made caretaker twice, it's quite a Lampardian trajectory. But you know, yeah, good. You know, club legend midfielder who got by on talent and actually isn't that good of a coach. So.
I mean, I'm glad that he's gone in the sense that I think that therefore a legacy can be kept reasonably intact. I'm thinking of specifically, for example, when Mark McGee got involved in Scottish football.
I can't remember when I'm not thinking about Mark McGee.
This is it. because that was a really sad point in Aberdeen's history where everyone's goodwill towards Mark McGee, Gothenburg legend, you know, helped us beat Real Madrid for Christ's sake. He's now just thought of as just a dreadful manager for Aberdeen and eventually a dreadful manager for Motherwell and a dreadful manager for Dundee. And it's a shame when that happens because you want to sort of keep them the memory sort of like perfect and nice, and then unfortunately events unravel around you.
Yeah. Anyway, events didn't unravel. We actually got a win, and tactical interest and active substitution making, and one of the most performative technical area performances I have seen for a long time.
It's just like a random guy that's been to CNA.
Yeah, or that shop I was in earlier with all the shoes.
Yeah, this is.
Anyway, should we just talk about Slovan Liberec, which is to come this weekend?
Yeah, go on.
Right, Slovenly Berries, as nobody calls them.
I'm sloving it. No, I don't know.
You're sloving it, sloving it, sloving it. You're sloving it like that. Bye.
Yes. We are playing Slovan Liberec.
Yes.
On Sunday.
Yes.
So, yeah. What can I really say? Strange season. Strange season because Slovan drawing away at Jablonec this weekend has meant that this is actually an 11th versus 12th tie.
Huh.
So, Slovan are only 2 points above us. And the... or are they 2 points below us? I can't even remember. They're around us anyway. That says a lot about my preparation to you, listener. I spent a long time trying to get this printed out as well, and my printer wasn't working, so now I've got a laptop in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say I don't do anything for you for the podcast. Do you remember much about the home game?
No, not really.
Comfortable 3-0, three second half goals with Shural Shevchik and Reznicek.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's nice.
And we don't have a particularly good record in Liberec, but Slovan are having quite an unspectacular season. So things might even themselves out a little bit. There's been some highlights. Two each with Slavia comes to mind. It was a really battling performance that. It was really good watching that game. But also they got horsed 4-0 by Mladá Boleslav a couple of weeks back. Ooh, as ouch. Well. So that's Boleslav as well. Not a particularly great team. Are goals a concern for Slovan? Maybe. 11 scored since the return of football this year, which is exactly the same as Zbrojovka. A lot of similarities between Zbrojovka and Slovan right now. Yeah. But the difference is that Liberec's goals come from all over the park, whereas we have ours coming from one player, basically. And we talked about this as well before on the podcast, but Mick Van Buren's return to Slavia has deprived them of 9 goals, basically. He had 9 goals to start the season. So they've done a couple of interesting things.
Right.
This was kind of interesting to read. They've gone for 2 forward players over the last 3 months, basically, that they've brought in. One of these is a guy called Victor Olatunji from Nigeria.
Okay.
So he is on loan with an option to buy from AEK Larnaca.
Right.
Who confusingly is also on loan from Nigerian outfit Lagos Islanders.
How does that work?
So loan with option.
Huh.
No. 11 appearances, 3 goals. He played a lot for Larnaca in their Europa League group, which was Fenerbahce, Rennes, and Dinamo Kiev.
Right.
So.
Has pedigree.
Didn't score in any of those games, but I mean, Larnaca barely scored at all, I think. The other one that's quite interesting here as well, you might remember this name, Ljubomir Tupta. And he is on loan from Serie C side Pescara. Slovan had him on a season-long loan in 21-22, and they've brought him back. So since his return, he scored twice. And he's a very strange player in the sense that he's sort of one of these guys that hangs around on the wing a lot, but oddly doesn't come up with that many assists.
Right.
So... they're putting it, and now they've put him into a centre forward style position, because I was sort of running the highlights back last night to have a look at him, and he goes all over the place, which is really weird. One more signing as well I found confusing was Giglin Defe, who's on loan until the end of June, because weirdly he played loads for Banik Ostrava, who's his parent club, up until November. He didn't appear against us due to suspension. Now, he played all the time for Banik, and Banik up till November, sorry, Banik up to today, awful.
Yeah.
Terrible, having a terrible season. Don't know what they're doing. I've had to run through a manager. Results haven't really improved. But now he's coming in and playing the majority of minutes for Slovan now, and he alternates between like a right back and a right midfielder, depending on their mood.
Right.
So he's got 1 cap for Angola, which is
good for him.
Last June, the big one, an AFCON qualifier against the Central African Republic, where they won 2-1.
Oh, good for him, though. So, you know, well done.
I just find this a very strange squad. I mean, there's still a little bit of quality there, though, as well. So, I mean, they're trying to get a tune out of Imad Rondic still, who's the big Bosnian, I'm obliged to say. So his goal a fortnight ago stopped a slump of 8 without scoring for him. So again, this is why I think...
A definite drought there.
Everyone's popping up with 3 or 4 goals, basically. This is how they're getting things sorted. And they love like a five in midfield playing in front of a three-man defence. So I think this is where they're going to try and take advantage of things.
In my head, Slovan are always a 3-5-2 team. I don't know why. Yeah. They're just, in my head, they're implanted as 3-5-2.
That expanse of European football they were so used to having.
Yeah.
Well, for years they were. On
their sort of weirdly narrow pitch at home.
It's the team you always thought would finish third or fourth and would get into Europe and did that. And there's still a couple of like decent players there. I was surprised that Lukas Cherv is 22 because he's got a decent amount of experience now in midfield. Mm. He's been playing. He must have at least 100 top flight caps, I think. Do you get
top flight caps?
You don't get
That's
caps.
That's not right.
Top flight appearances. There we go. He's got 4 assists. Plays beside Christian Friedek, who we know. Friedek's decent.
You know, not as good as his twin Mistek, of course.
Of course. The niche joke's coming out today. We've had Saffron Walden, we've had Friedek Mistek. I just want to maybe finish, because I think it was prattling on.
I only just got the Saffron Walden thing, by the way.
Good.
It's only taken me half an hour. Yeah. But
do you want to hear something totally crazy? And maybe it's just because of Sunday, and, you know, and that gives you a bit of a boost.
Always, tell me.
I think we could get something out of this game.
Yeah, a point would be good.
They are an average team with average results this year, and we're playing Slovan Liberec. Hey. Slovan are bang average this season. I'd like us to be able, if we set up with an actual structure, like we did in the second half.
Yeah. Hey, stranger things have happened.
But this is going to be
that horse becoming Pope, for one.
Horse Pope.
Carry on.
I was going to put a serious point here. What you'll be getting tonight, listeners, 3 previews, because we are playing 2 weekends in a midweek.
Mm.
So this is what I'm thinking of. It is like squad rotation. Sound the squad rotation klaxon. How are we going to manage this?
Badly, probably. It's going to be scratch defences at the ready. And making up for injuries. We'll have Texel back, but Socek looks knacked until the end of the season. It's going to be Hlavica there in midfield. It's going to be Kojaluch, who joined on loan and has barely played. So
Endel's still out, isn't he?
Yeah, so it's going to be scratch defences and basically plugging holes. It's going to be system over players, and hopefully we have a manager who now has ideas for a system and the system.
That's a really good place to end it, I think.
It is. Let's have a quick word from our sponsor, and then we will be back for Czech's Notes, Beer of the Podcast.
Protože k nám přichází z čisté alpské přírody, kde
rostou čokolády.
To ne, ale žijí tam kravičky, které mají nejlepší mléko a to dává Milce tu lahodnou a jemnou chuť.
Mami.
Co pak?
Dejme ještě kousek.
Milka, svou jemnost dejte váka, je nejlepší, co můžeš
of the podcast.
So what was that?
I'm in a funny mood tonight.
Okay, fair enough.
It's been a very long day for me and for yourself.
It's been a long day for both of us, and we're hitting 20-9 at this point, and it's just hysterical, tired giggling is basically where we're at the moment. Anyway, this is Beer of the Podcast. I don't know why I said it like that. Beer of the Podcast. There's a beer festival on the square. I was going to go and get something from there, but I realised it was cash only. Uh-huh. And I didn't have any on me. However, I did get this. This is, and I feel slightly done by this, because this was really expensive. It was 225 crowns for a 750
Woo!
Mil job. Yes.
Ooh, bit of payday, was it?
Fuck no. And I have to go to Liechtenstein. I have to get Swiss crowns.
Of the things that you'll get no sympathy from me, it's
yeah.
going to Liechtenstein with Joe for a nice holiday. It's not really going to be up there. Oh, it was so expensive.
We're mainly there for walking. Basically, listener, what we did, my mate Joe and I had the idea that it would be quite interesting to spend a day walking across a country and back. So that's what we're going to do. And then we're going to come back via Munich and we're going to see Sven and that's it. Like, we're not going lying on a beach or something. Anyway.
We're going to get a postcard from Shan.
Shan. Or Vaduz.
Or Balzers.
Yeah, exactly. I will try and get a sticker on a stadium, don't worry.
Good.
Anyway, apparently this... this is from the Hib... Right, it's either... Ah, no. It's Pivovar Laika.
Like the dog.
Like the space dog. And it's from the Bubenec region of Prague.
Oh, okay.
This particular one is called Hibernata. And it was described to me by the bloke in the bottle shop as an example of spontaneous fermentation. I'm not sure if that's the technical term or if there was a kind of mistranslation between us. I'm not sure. But it's basically dropping fruit into it during fermentation.
Right.
And just to kind of see what happens, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, it doesn't say on the label what kind of fruit we're expected to have in it.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, it looks kind of like cidery coloured.
It does.
And...
very pale.
Yeah, and let's have a smell and see what it is about. Because it smells sweet.
It smells tremendously to me of elderflower.
It does, yeah. It's quite floral, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is
possibly the most pretentious beer that we've had on it.
It possibly could be the most pretentious beer. The label is really nice as well, very minimalist and so forth. So, yeah, elderflowery, minimalist label, pretentious noise about spontaneous fermentation. Let's see how it goes. It's really light on the end, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You a fan?
I'm not sure. I feel we need a few to get into it.
Yeah. Initially, I think I like it.
It's better second sip.
Yeah.
I've used this before.
That's nice. Slightly lemony. As you said, sharp. Yeah.
I've used this example before. For me, that's a malt worm pint. For those who aren't in Burnham, Maltworm is a specifically craft beer pub that they do a whole new board basically every day with different things.
The Poisoned Ben.
It's, yes, indeed, that place.
Yeah.
It is one of those ones that I think you have to go, ooh, that sounds interesting. You drink it, it's okay, you quite like it, and then when the woman comes round and says, do you want another one,
yeah,
you go with something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, yeah.
For
it's very summery.
Yeah, I'd buy into that.
Yeah, it's a treat. It's a treat beer if you like that sort of thing, which I think I do. But do I like it 225 crowns worth? Probably
That's
not.
That's the question. It's one of these ones you get what you pay for sometimes. In that it, I don't know if you can really taste this sort of thing, but it tastes like there's been a lot of care put into it. And people have thought
Absolutely.
Very much about what
yeah.
profile they're going for.
Absolutely.
But then, like a Neanderthal like me, I'm just drinking it, you know? I'm not going, dances on the tip of my tongue like a fresh spring song or something like that.
Right, okay. Fair enough. I mean, I wasn't expecting you to do that, but okay. Shall we talk about somewhere that does very basic beer?
Yes.
Okay. We are at home to Česká Budějovice. This coming Wednesday, we're playing Liberec away. Is it Sunday, did you say?
Sunday, yes.
Yeah,
Sunday
and then
Wednesday.
And then 5:30 Wednesday is just a bit of it. So it's a very annoying time on a very annoying day.
Yeah. Can I just put it out there? I fucking hate playing Česká Budějovice.
Fine.
Just
okay.
Had enough of them.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Down in the second tier, had enough of them. Up here, had enough of them. Nice stadium.
Nice town.
Nice match day experience. Fucking hate the game. Every time the game sucks, and we always dreck. For some reason, like, it's specifically Budějovice that is a team that I go, oh, we never get anything from Budějovice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is going to be maybe a different encounter. I mean, the last time we played them, I'm not going to talk about because that was a cup and that was on a totally different side.
Yeah.
But what have Dinamo done since dumping us out of the cup, you may ask?
Sam, what have Dinamo done since dumping us out of the cup, I may ask?
Well, David, they provided a real coupon buster against Slavia, beating a poor Banik side.
A coupon buster?
A coupon buster, yeah.
What's that?
When you have an accumulator and there's one that you think is like one lets you down.
A coupon buster,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, coupon buster.
So, right, okay, sorry.
I
genuinely had an absolute mind blank there.
Quarter to nine, listener. But I mean, since then, since they've
busted some coupons, yeah,
and beaten a poor Banik side, they've done a lot of things to conspire against themselves, and this includes like getting a man sent off in the second minute against Lien and predictably collapsing.
Lovely.
And they got bodied off to Plitsa.
God, they did. Didn't
who
they?
Are
yeah.
not very good away anyway, and yet produced an, you know, absolute resilient performance.
3-0 or something?
3-0.
3-0, yeah.
3-0 going on more, if I recall. Before meeting us, they've got a tricky tie with Jablonec, who are very much improving to look forward to. And they're going to be rounding off the first phase of this season with Pardubice at home.
Mm.
At the time of recording, they are one place below us in 13th and 2 points below us, which means that Slovan Liberec are in 11th and
yeah.
2 points in front, like I thought. Nobody interesting has left. Lukas Chmelik's loan from Karvin has been made permanent.
That's what everyone had been talking about.
Well, it's what things that I look at on the internet are talking about.
Sure.
He had a goal in the previous loss to Hradec Králové. It's slightly troubling that he leads their scorers tally with 4. They've also conceded the same amount of goals as us, 51, which mm-hmm. is, if anyone was any doubt, very bad.
Yeah, that is a lot of goals, ladies and gentlemen.
Very bad. But we've scored 12 more than... Sorry, so Kuba Rzeźniczek has scored 12 more than them. You'll be pleased to hear, David, that elder statesman Michal Škoda is still kicking about for them. He's getting game time. I didn't actually do much else of a preview here, aside from saying that they really alternate the lineup. So they've gone the last few matches between a 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1, and 3-4-3. 3-4-3 against Hradec, so that's bold. What I wanted to sort of note here is that this is the biggest mentality game that we have until the split of the groups, because this often feels, when we play Česká Budějovice, it feels like it's Borojovka against themselves. I mean, recent lowlights include the cup debacle, the time that we...
were the first team to not get something off them at their... It was their first home win of the season, I think, when we were there.
Yep. So that happened as well. We decided to not show up at home against them.
Yeah.
And we went down 3-0 the previous season. That was with What's-His-Face, who no longer plays with them, who's great. His surname begins with B, and I can't remember anything else about him. There was a time as well, if we're going back, it was the time that we were 2-0 up and cruising. Went 2-2, conceded a penalty, and then we took off a striker for a defender.
That's right, yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, they do seem to slowly be becoming one of our, like, for no reason, bogey teams.
And it's very much like the football equivalent for us of Fight Club, where we're just ending up beating up ourselves.
Do we not talk about Pint Club?
This is it, yeah. The first rule of Česká Budějovice Club is taking that god-awful train all the way down there. So we're at home for this one at least. But I don't know. So I think that actually I'm far less confident about this one than I am away to a better team like Slovan Liberec, basically.
Well, I'm going to Česká Budějovice on a train tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Not from here, obviously, from Prague, the nicer way.
Ah, yes.
But yeah, that'll be something.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I could find who that scorer was when we just got bodied by them at home, but I can't. So sorry, listener.
Okay, fair enough. Would you like a spot of hot or not?
Sure.
Sure, me too. Dun 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 dun, because I've been in dun 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 lots of these dun 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 different podcast sections. Dun 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 dun, hearts or not now, hearts or not now, hearts or not now. Dun 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 dun. I'm calling the art school.
Yeah, I funnily enough, I posted this on Facebook last night,
didn't you? Yeah,
because it came on my way home. It's Paint Nothing by the Superb Idlewild.
It's a superb Idlewild, and I actually listened to that album again today for the first time in a long time, like in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
Dear me, what a band! What a band!
What a mighty good band! Very good. So if you you should very much check out Idlewild, listener. Hot or not, I've got one of each this time.
Yep. Start me off.
Okay, I'll start you with a hot, and you might have heard this already, but it's Benji Lanyado's assessment of Chelsea against Brighton.
Yes.
So, this is going to give you a little bit more editing work, I'm afraid, David, but there is a clip of it that you can get online. Can I say, roll the clip?
There's a sort of philosophical contrast between the two clubs in a big way at the moment. You know, it feels like Brighton is sort of like Michelin-starred football club that sort of forages for like amazing ingredients from around the world and then sort of mixes them in with a bit of sort of local hearty Solly Marsh and Lewis Dunk, and it works and it's fantastic. And Chelsea is sort of Salt Bay. You know, sort of expensively assembled nonsense that no one's really enjoying. And it felt like in this, it was just, especially after what Brighton had to go through last week, that Brighton was so clearly the better team, the better squad, and the better football club by the end of this game.
It was good, wasn't it?
I have nothing to say on it, except that it's one of the best and makes the most sense of any football
it
analysis
really, really
I've heard
does,
in years.
It? Yeah. It's beautifully done. I'll give you a not.
Go on.
Quote, my fourth of the show, I think. Quote, Reading Football Club will be deducted 6 points from the 2022-23 Championship table after the club admitted that it has failed to comply with the budget restrictions imposed following a previous breach of the EFL's profitability and sustainability rules. End quote. That's not my not, because it's very funny to see Reading get into financial trouble, because, you know, don't like Reading very much. And it leaves them in real trouble. And it's the fault of the owners.
Yes.
And the board.
Yep.
And did they sack themselves?
Of course they didn't.
No! Paul Ince got the chop for something that is absolutely not his fault. Not only is it not his fault, they've been under a transfer embargo since 2021 because of a previous breach. Then they brought in Paul Ince to try and sort the mess out. He worked miracles to get them out of that spot, kept them up, only for them to do it again and then get rid of him. I mean, I'm not a fan of Paul Ince as a manager. I don't think he's particularly good. I mean, he was dreadful at Wolves. He managed to get Reading out of it. Fine. But I don't think he's a world beater. Yeah. But man, you got to feel bad for him. It's dreadful.
I feel bad for any team that's main attacking threat is Andy Carroll in 2023.
Well, yeah, there is that, yeah.
But yeah, no, you're quite right. I mean, the whole thing that annoys me so much about all of this sort of stuff is that a couple of years ago, there was the whole crowing about the new things that were coming in, this fit and proper practice rigorous screenings of owners and these things. And as usual, the FA has just paid lip service to,
these things. It's absolute cronyism, isn't it? Like, you know, it's very old, you know, I'm ever so humble, sir.
Yeah.
You know, it's dreadful.
You don't see a good Salt of the Earth team like FC Taiwan doing that, do you?
you certainly don't. Yeah, where's Camel Laird when you
Camel
need
Camel Laird, the Lairds.
I was thinking about Camel Laird actually this week. I sort of thought about that. And of course, Camel Laird, shipbuilding team, of course. Not just from the Halfman Hobbit album, of course, that.
Because they're from, I think, the around Merseyside.
Yeah,
they're
Runcorn, possibly? Liverpool or Runcorn, I think.
I don't think they're Runcorn because I keep a vested interest in Runcorn because, of course, Runcorn have Runcorn Linnets and the other one, Runcorn United. And, of course, the mascot of Runcorn Linnets is...
A giant corn.
Yes, called Ron Corn. So,
is it really?
Did you not know this?
No, absolutely guessed that.
Oh, no. Ron Corn.
Amazing.
Like, as in Ron as in Ronald. Ron
sure,
Corn.
I get it. No, yes, no. Mm-hmm. I remember. It was planted in the back of my brain because we have done this about 2 years ago on a mascots quiz that you made.
Yes.
That had Ron... Yes. That's probably where I've dragged it from the depths of my subconscious.
And if you know to remind you, that is Ron Corn.
Good Christ, yeah.
I keep a vested interest in keeping up with how they're doing, specifically for that mascot.
Yes. Camel Laird, Merseyside Shipbuilders, and erstwhile sort of like sprinter train builders. I think Camel Laird made kind of electric trains in the 60s and so forth as
I did not know
possibly.
That.
Possibly. That might not be true. I don't know.
Good badge.
Right, good.
It does have a camel on it.
Right. That was... Was that you?
That was... I think that was you on Reading.
That was me on Reading.
And we
right.
went on a complete tangent there.
Right, give me a...
Okay.
Not? Question mark?
Yeah, this is a not, and it just came up from actually seeing this on Twitter, because it was something I'd not thought about for a while. I saw a tweet, I believe, from Monday night where Ryan Fraser had scored for Newcastle United under-21s. So my not is Ryan Fraser because he's playing for Newcastle United under-21s. 3 seasons ago, he was the top of the table in assists in the whole of the Premier League. Mm. And since then, he seems to have fallen out with a bunch of people. So he's fallen out and out of favour in Newcastle United. Newcastle squad's really good. They don't need Ryan Fraser. He's completely been frozen out of the Scotland setup because he's just not in with the team dynamic that's being fostered there under Steve Clark. And, you know, it's kind of a sad sort of, I think it's a sad end for a player.
Mm.
So, yeah, I just saw that and I was like, what might have been, you know? And the fact that he's just getting wheeled out for the reserves, I think is just tragic.
Yeah. All right.
So puts it all in a downer there.
That's
a promising career. He might turn out for Camel Laird at some point.
He might, yeah.
In the mascot's costume. I hope they've got a camel mascot costume.
A tiny, tiny camel costume for tiny Ryan Fraser.
Two humps.
Two humps. Well, there's a song I haven't thought about for a while. Anyway, do you want a final hop?
Yes, please.
My final hot is the lesser seen side of the Zvorovka fan base. It's just because I had a very nice weekend of it. Because fairly or not, the dickheads get a lot of coverage for a fair amount of dickheadery.
True.
And now and again, and more and more now again, you meet people who just get it.
Yes.
And I would like to give a shout out to two people specifically, Jyrki Vala, the older guy who stands with us and seems genuinely pleased to be involved, you know, with his two words of English and taking photos of us, which is very sweet. And Stjepan Chaur, who, there again, was genuinely pleased to hang out with Liam and me before the game, gave us stickers and invited us to Lokal for a couple of free beers if we're there when he's on shift.
Oh, is he there at Lokal?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he works at Lokal sometimes. It's like his sort of part-time job.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, if he's on shift, you and I are owed a couple of free beers, apparently.
Ah, because so I nice. Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, hi, and thanks for also DMing the Zbrojovcast Twitter account. I wasn't exactly sure what you meant, and that's why I asked you to clarify some stuff, so please message me back.
But yeah, I just think there's you know, a large part of this fan base, and a sort of increasing part of this fan base who are, you know, actually very, very nice and kind of mellow.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And non-dickheady.
Yeah.
Which is lovely to see. So thank you all. That's a slightly selfish hot, but one I think really needs bringing up because we don't talk about it enough. So thank you everyone who is, who is very nice.
Yeah. And thank you for listening to Zbrojovcast.
Indeed. Thank you, listener, wherever you are. This isn't the end of the show. Don't turn off yet.
You've still got another preview to sit through, I'm afraid.
Right now! If you want a preview, then hear it now!
Going to Slovatsko and we're gonna get battered. Married.
I was going for battered, but
we'll see. All
right, fair enough.
Yeah, we're going to Slovatsko, which is confusingly not in a place called Slovatsko. That's an area. And there you go. We're going to Uherské Hradiště.
Yeah. Home of a very good cottage pie.
Yes. I don't think that place exists anymore.
Does it not?
Okay. I don't know.
Used to be home of a very good cottage pie.
The last time I was in Uherské Hradiště, I was abused by that middle-aged man. Do you remember? The guy kept shouting at me from over the road and then found out I was from the UK and he shook my hand and called me his friend.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that was a game. So this is a tough away game to close out the first part of the season. So Slovatsko have not received the plaudits as they have last campaign. Yet they are only 3 points off Bohemians, and Bohemians are in fourth right now.
Yeah. They're just having a very quiet season of it, aren't they? Really, they are hashtag going about their business.
They had a really, really slow start. So part of that has been the European run that they had And actually,
they had a really tough group as well.
Oh, it was insane. I can't remember who was in it.
Nice, Fenerbahce or Galatasaray, like one of the big Turkish teams. Nice and I want to say somebody from Germany. It was a daft group.
Yeah.
It was mad.
So yeah, they had they gave it a go, and yeah, probably performances did suffer at the start of the season. They were spending a lot of time below us, even though we were having a kind of crazy run, and you know I remember us distinctly talking about our opening game of the season, which was a 2-2 draw at Srpska. With, you know, which was really, really positive.
Yeah.
Because that was our first game back in the top flight. And then you think, hey, if we are able to get points against teams like Slovatsko, then I think we're going to be okay this season. And that was a game that we did sort of run a luck a little bit. They were probably the better team. We were ahead twice, if I recall. But yeah, it was really positive. And then we went on that fantastic run where it looked like we were somehow going to win the league for about four matches. But they've got better since they've come back as well. So 6 wins and 11 losses to Bohemka, Banik, Slavia, 2 draws. So 20 points, pretty good.
Yeah.
Since the start of the year. But let's talk about Seungbin Kim.
Right, shall we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because he's come in since the start of the year and he's been pretty good.
Okay.
He's almost like an alley sort of guy. Like he appears to play everywhere in midfield. He's only 22. He was picked up by Dukla Prague from a team in South Korea. What a scouting network they must be having.
It was just somebody on holiday, wasn't it?
I like to think that they're sending people out, you know, like you're sort of like, there's a back room in it, what's it called, Stadion Juliska. And they're just going, right, you're going to South Korea.
Yeah. Gentlemen, your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Yeah. So a Kim that's made a positive impact.
He really was a funk soul, brother.
Superb. he got a brace a couple of weeks ago against Lien, which caught people's eye. And he hasn't played all the time either. He's sort of like used sparingly, and he sometimes gets some appearances. He looks quite good.
Right.
So I'm worried. And he also plays quite well with Marek Havlik, who's also, we know, very good.
Yes.
Because Marek Havlik is an assist machine and is probably, outside of the top three, I can't think of many better central midfielders. But, you know, you might have a different view. There's a few.
I was going to say Kvyat, but now outside of the top three, now he's pissed off to Poulsen. Who are absolutely bottling it, by the way.
If there's any team that could actually seriously lose what I believe is a 12-point lead over Bohemians in fourth, it's starting to feel like it's Victoria yeah. Pilsen, because they have just been awful. And I mean, that's a really bad result against.
Yeah, it's. Ever since they refused the manager's resignation, it's all gone to shit, hasn't it?
Don't think they'll be refusing his resignation much longer.
Certainly don't. No.
I mean, I did that thing where I had a bit to drink and I tweeted the club.
Of course, you did.
Like, twice in 2 weeks I've tweeted a Czech team. I've only got a response from one so far, but it was just sort of like, what the fuck? How are you losing to that Banik team? With the quality they have, nonsense. I'll just stop with the preview now because it's going nowhere, but they're a useful side,
right,
is what I would say. And they are not the team that finished fourth last season. And did they win the cup recently as well?
Yes, they won the cup last year, hence the European.
Yeah, well, they got into fourth as well, though. Yeah, oh, that's where they got group, wasn't it? Yeah. So, yeah, because they got Europa League group. That was it. So, yeah, they're a handy team. They're not as handy as they were last season, but that's because everyone has gone and joined Victoria Pilsen from them. But it's a tough one to finish off things. What's going to be interesting is if that game is going to be the game where if we get something, we get the middle group.
Yeah.
And if not, we get the bottom group. I would absolutely take that dilemma right now, because I think if it turns out like that, where it is the case of if we win, we're in the middle, and if we don't, we're in the bottom, I think in either case that means we'll be fine, because we'll have had enough sort of points to get us to be up at the top of that echelon. And I would fancy if we got home games, particularly against the likes of Zlín Teplice, we'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's just a very strange time. It's quite an exciting time again to be watching Zbrojovka, because there's this stuff that's happening behind the scenes, and also there's a very clear plan of going forward. I've done a lot of talking about what I expect in the next three games, but maybe...
Well, that's fine.
I'd like to know what maybe you think and how this is going to possibly pan out.
I don't really think a lot. That's just through life. I would like to get a point against Slovan. Would be really useful. The home game against Chebe, that... we really need a win from that. And then, you know, kind of things are into our own hands when we go into the Slovacko game. Slovacko might very well be hashtag on the beach at that point. Yeah. You never know. It's the final game of the 30 before the split. So, yeah, maybe if we do go into that needing, like, a point, we might just roll them over. So...
That is, that's true.
Who knows?
I'm going to put myself on the line here.
Go on.
Because it's the end, and, you know, only half of the people probably listen to the end anyway. I'm going to say we beat Slovan Liberec on Sunday.
All right.
And I'm going to say midweek we will lose to Česká Budějovice.
Okay.
And then we'll actually beat Slovacko away.
All right.
And
Fair enough.
Think that's going to be the middle. And then this is where the fun begins. And this is where the new coach can start building his team.
Okay. Right.
Every single game, Rogožan. If it's the middle group, just play Rogožan for 90 minutes. Give, like...
Stick him in goal.
Give Zvezdinchek a month off. And just be like, mate, you earned it. Who cares about the 1 million crowns cash prize for beating the middle group tournament thing? Nonsense.
By the way, Kuba Zvezdinchek now only 2 goals away from 100 professional goals.
That's amazing.
So that would be lovely if he could do it this season. That would be excellent. I can't... Frankly, I can't see him not doing it. Mm-hmm. But Watch me curse it now.
I hope he does, and I hope he keeps scoring. Not because I for just care about Zborovka, but Hramosa's really upset at him for beating him for the golden boot.
Good.
Because he doesn't deserve all the goals and he's just a poacher, blah, blah, blah. Get it up you. Get it up you, Jan Hramosa.
Fucking Hramosa. Ruins things for us. Anyway, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's quite enough of us for tonight.
I think it is, right. Thank you very much, listener. Thank you for listening. Follow us on all the socials. We've been getting big numbers on the social, well, relatively big numbers on the social recently, so join in. Get involved on Twitter and Facebook at Sproyovcast. And that will be us out until we talk to you again when things will have happened even further.
Bye. Yeah.